Good morning, people of Capital Baptist Church. I praise God for giving me this opportunity to speak with you today. Merry Christmas. Christmas means Jesus Christ. Christ, you know, the traditional church, they do Mass. Mass is celebrating God, so Christmas. But nowadays, okay, if you found that, it is okay. Still, the word Merry Christmas is there. So it's okay, but here, this is the majority now, or what? Seasonal greetings. It is the season without Jesus. I don't know if after what the kids did here in this pulpit, do you need another sermon? Do you memorize the verse? Do you remember the verse that was repeated frequently from here? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, the people who are called by my name, it doesn't matter if it is a seasonal greeting or greetings or not. It doesn't matter Christmas or not Christmas or whatever they will say. The big question that Jesus asked his disciple in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, when we were praying last Wednesday, Brother Solomon, he reminded me of this verse. Pastor Steve was mentioning the last sermon, isn't it? What about you? What about you? Jesus was speaking to the disciple. But whom say ye that I am? What is matter in this country, all over the globe, everywhere? What is the church believe about Jesus? We are in a dilemma. The main verse, if you have your hand out and you look down there, Revelation 3:20, and this, my main verse today, I would like to speak about who is Jesus from this verse. Behold, Jesus is speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to whom? He's speaking to whom? Do you know we use this verse frequently when we come to preach the gospel to the people? And we like to illustrate we are the preachers and the people who are doing one-on-one evangelism. We use this verse to illustrate what it means to accept Jesus. To accept Jesus means to open your heart for him. And last week we were sitting with a Muslim lady who came asking what it means Christmas. And we explained to her what it means Christmas. And at the end of the day, we read this verse and she prayed. We know that she prayed because she liked, but we were doubting, and we are still doubting, Salwa, my wife, and myself, that she accepted Jesus. But Jesus here is not speaking to individuals or speaking to individuals. He intentionally was speaking to the church. And this church was in Asia Minor, Turkey of today. And this church, Jesus was saying to them, behold, I stand at the door. At the door of what? Jesus. Yes, we can say at the door of your heart individually. But Jesus was speaking to the church. Where is supposed to be Jesus? Where is his place in the church? Where is supposed to be his place in the church? At the door of the church. At the gate of the church, knocking the door. Begging for an individual. No. The reality, Jesus is searching for a body. The church is the body of Christ. And he's supposed to be in his church as the center of worship. As the center of intention.
at the center of their dealing of their life all from A to Z. But here we see a picture which is sad. He is not inside the church. He is by the door. Nowadays, in this place of Asia Minor, there is no Christianity. Christianity disappeared. The churches turned to be either museum or ruin, destroyed nothing. Do you know the church of John in Ephesus, close to Ephesus? The church of John, this is the place where they believe John, the disciple of Jesus, lived. It's just ruin, nothing. The church is not there. What is there is Islam. Yesterday, I was watching an interview with a girl. This girl spoke from the pulpit of the United Nations. She talked to the Security Council of the United Nations. Do you hear about this girl? If anybody understands what I am talking about? This is a young lady who ran away from the enslavery of ISIS. She was taken captive and she was not a Muslim. It is Zaydi. It is another sect or religion anyway. And because she is not a Muslim, they took her as sex slave. And she asked from the United Nations theater there, she asked to meet the president of Egypt. They invited her to Egypt. And she was interviewed live on a TV. And what she told the people is things which you would never imagine that it can happen in the 21st century. It's satanic. Absolutely satanic. And she succeeded to run away. And then they interview her. How I can stand here without praying for the persecuted church? Today, thousands over thousands over thousands of Christians killed and kicked out of their homes or kidnapped because of their faith. And the interviewer, he told her, why not to tell them, yes, I am a Muslim, and say the Shahada so that you can save yourself. And she looked to him in his eyes and said to him, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I cannot deceive the people. And she paid the price. They raped her thousands of times. And they kidnapped thousands of girls and women. She said, women from age 40 or above, they slaughter them. Below that age, till 9 years old, they took them as sex slaves in their homes. Crazy. 21st century. And then the interviewer was a Muslim. He said to her, this is not Islam, and I like you to tell your Zaydi people that it is not Islam. And she said to him, listen to this answer. She said to him, they will not believe me if I will say it because they saw it with their eyes. They experienced it firsthand. They will never believe me. Where is the solution of that? In the hand of other Muslims, in the hand of Muslims' governments, no way. In the hand of Western's government, no way. Here we go, let me read this verse. Whoever, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Who is he speaking? Jesus. Jesus' intention, who is Jesus? What is Jesus' intention from you? What is God's intention from you? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the invisible image of, it is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus, he is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the expression of God to us. We cannot see God because we are limited. We cannot see God because it is logic. The one who contain the heavens and the earth and the universe. You cannot contain him in your eyes. You cannot contain him in your brain. But you need to believe in him. Only to believe in him. But Jesus made him known. Because he is the image of the invisible God. This is the Bible. The things that make me to believe in Jesus is the Bible. I have a lecture, and I suspect that Pastor Steve asked me to speak it specifically, but I didn't. Why I believe what I will believe about Jesus? Why do I believe what I believe about Jesus? If you like to listen to this presentation, come to my class next time, okay? In January. I will do full presentation. But why do you believe in what you believe about Jesus? I will concentrate in the second part of the verse. I am not following this to the letter, okay? Usually, if I do that, I will be confused. Dying with him and he with me. What that means? What this story all about? This story is about something unique. This story has a background. I like to speak first to this background. And this background is in the book of Exodus. And I will search for it here. It is Exodus 24, dying with him. The story of dying with him, it looks like John, the disciple of Jesus, in his vision, he saw something unique. And this is the background of the story. When God decided to give Moses the two tablets, the law to his people, when he decided to do that, he did something unique. Maybe you never read it before. But I will tell you the story. It is written here in Exodus chapter 24. When Moses, God said to him, Moses, before I will give you the law, I'd like you to do something unique. Go and invite the elders of Israel. And I think he invited 60 people from every tribe. Because he invited 72 elders, plus he and Aaron, making 74. But Aaron took his two children with him, so they were 4 and 70, plus 70. And this 74, 6 from every tribe, because number 6 is number of humanity in the Bible. The 74 people went there on the mountain. Nobody else go to the mountain. And in the Jewish culture, because of this verse here, no one, you cannot see my face, for no one man shall see me and live. Because of this verse in Exodus 33, because of this verse, the Jewish people, they know that they cannot see God and live. What happened? They went there, and it is written there, if you are reading, what happened? And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. God didn't touch them to die. Then, also, it's not only that, they saw God, it's not only he didn't lay their hand in them and kill them. They saw him and did eat and did drink. They have a meal there. They dine with him. They have a meal with God who prepared the meal for them. They didn't come their food. They didn't take their food with them up to the mountain. God prepared a meal for them and they saw him. And
After they saw him, they sit down in his presence and they have a meal. He participated. Maybe. Maybe. But he have a meal. They have a meal there. What it means, this story? Why God intentionally wrote this story in the Old Testament? And here, at the end of the day, John have seen the vision. I dying with him and he was with me. God, before he gave the law, intentionally, he told the people of Israel, remember, my intention is not do and don't do. My intention is fellowship. My intention to eat with you and you with me. When I am coming to dine with you, don't search what you will bring for me to eat, or you will what you bring yourself to eat. I will prepare the meal for you. But my intention to dine with you and you with me is to eat in my presence. Fellowship. Before you receive the law, Moses, before you will come to the people of Israel with tablets of stones with instructions written in it, my intention is you. My intention is human. My intention is to dine with you and you with me. But how did they see God there? What is the story that's making me to go back to God Speaks Here slide? What is the story? In the first verse, God said, you cannot see my face, Moses, and believe. In the same chapter earlier, we read, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends. I put these slides in animation, so you will not read the solution in the third verse. I don't know why the animation disappeared in this slide. But anyway, how God appeared, how he speak to Moses face to face, how the people of Israel in Exodus 24 saw God and ate in his presence. It is clear, Judaism cannot solve the problem. The Old Testament cannot solve the problem. It can tell the story only. It looks like experience theology only. Here, John, in John 1:18, solved the problem to us. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Declared him. He has declared him. He made him known to us, to you, to me. I will tell you in that a story of a Muslim lady also. This Muslim lady, her husband came to know the Lord through a TV program 3 months ago. And when he came to our conference, he brought his wife with him. She was wearing a hijab. And when she came, her husband told us, please, I like my wife to be saved before we will leave the conference. In the first day, she was attending the lectures, but in the middle of the lecture, she will leave the room. The second day is the same. So I asked Salva, my wife, to talk with her. She talked with her. In the third day, we decided to stay after the program and invite this family to eat together and talk with them. And then, when we were sitting there, her husband, their pastor, we asked her, what's your question about Christianity? She looked at me and said, I have no question. But I'd like to tell you one thing. When I enter this room, you are worshiping in it upstairs. I have rest. I find rest in this room. I said, yes. And why you didn't stay? She said, when you talk and you speak, the rest come to me like water running into my heart. And I feel the water is rushing too much and giving me comfort and rest. I cannot tolerate it. I leave the room. It's quite strange. Then she said, I like to tell a dream. I have a dream.
before I came. I came here, she told that to my wife the day before, that she came here to the conference to keep her husband away from the new faith. She don't like him to leave Islam and be an infidel. So she joined him to bring him back. But she has this problem. Whenever she enters the room, she finds rest. And she said, before I came to the conference by a few days, I have a dream. I saw in the dream myself in a foot of a mountain. And I look up and I saw light coming from there. I saw a man sitting there in the top of the hill, giving his back to me. But he is not a man. He was man made of light. And I looked to the light and I saw him calling me, come. The lady was preaching the gospel to us, isn't it? And she said, I said to him, Prophet Isa, please talk to me. And I came from a sleep. She said, it happened to me twice. And I told her, let me tell you the story. I opened the Bible. What verse I will say I will open? Do you imagine what verse? Matthew 11:28. I told her, listen. Jesus said, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest. We explained to her why Jesus gave rest. She cried and accepted the Lord. And before she left the conference, she removed the hijab. Now she has, really, she has a church in her home. Because the city where they live have no church and has no believer, except three families came to the conference and all of them went back with Jesus. And they are church planting in one day. God speaks. It is a revelation. God proclaims himself. It's not convincing the people that Jesus is God. It is proclaiming it and leaving the Holy Spirit to do the work. We tried hard to preach the gospel to the Muslims. But I tell you, 2015 was a great blessing for us. We saw many Muslims coming to know the Lord here and overseas also. God is at work. Who is Jesus? He is the invisible. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He speaks. He ate with the people of Israel before he gives them the law. By grace, I give you salvation. And I tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story, not by works. Let any man should boast. So, for we, his workmanship, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, into good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is the melody of God. I am speaking about the commentator. It is the melody of God. It's the music of God in the life of his people. It's not even we suspect that we are saved by grace and then do and don't do. No, we are saved by grace and we live Christianity by grace. Just we trust him. How I will live my Christianity. How I will obey his word. Try to do it. Please. I tell you the story. You will fail again and again and again. How to apply it? Go and dine with him and he is with you. During the dining, during the fellowship, he will tell you. He will tell you. He will change you. He will bring another proclamation to your life. He will bring another revelation to your heart. And that will change you again and again and again. Till you will do his good works. The second example of God eating with his people is this man, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, something strange happened. God decided to visit Abraham. And he visited Abraham. And Abraham said to him, Lord, come here. Please come, sir.
and sit down and will give you something to eat because you are walking in the desert like that. And strangely enough, the Lord sat down at the table of Abraham and they did eat. Strangely enough, if I compare Exodus 24 with this story of Genesis 18, in Exodus 24, they sat down there in the presence of the Lord and they ate and drank with him. No, it doesn't appear that the Lord, it looks like he was standing like Abraham. Abraham in this story, he didn't sit down to eat. It is the culture. It is the culture of the Bedouin at that time that the Lord of the house leader, will stand and serve his guests before he will eat himself. It looks like that's what's happened in Exodus chapter 24. Here in Genesis, Abraham was sitting and have amazing guests. He has God at his table. Sitting there. Who was that? Who was that? He was Jesus. That's what we call theophany. Jesus is appearing frequently, doing things which we do, all of us. And here we go. He stands in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Calling you, everybody in this room, come, open to me. I would like to dine with you and you with me. My intention, God is saying to his people, my intention is not do and don't do. My intention is fellowships that will produce a music in your heart, a melody of God at work in me. It's a big difference between we are trying to please him while he is working in me. When he was working at chapter 18 of the book of Genesis, he decided to work in Sarah. And at the end of the day, Sarah had a promise to have a child. Although she was very old and she loved at the promise, God did something strange. He gave her by faith. By faith, according to the book of Hebrews, By faith, he gave her the power to bear children in spite of her age. Amazing. After a while, God looked to Abraham and he decided to walk with him. During the way walking with the Lord, another strange thing happened. God began to consult with Abraham. Are you sure, God? Are you sure, Lord? He said, yes, this is my friend. My friend. God has emotion. Isn't it? In this story, God is love. What is love? Love is emotion. God is dealing with Abraham. It looks like with emotion. Abraham, I'm going to do something and I cannot hide it from you. Let me tell you about it. And Abraham stood up and said, Lord, I am just dust and ashes. But please, intercession, meeting with God, dining with God, supper with God, end up by a function which we need it here in this church, in this country today. Intercession, friendship. We need friends of God here in this room. Are you willing? Are you willing? This is the last story. Cain. Cain was a sinner. He decided to kill his brother. No preacher to preach to him. Do you know who preached to him? God decided to come down and speak to a fallen being and told him, take care, don't kill. And the fallen being didn't obey. He went and killed his brother. That's enough. Supposedly God will say, enough is enough. I breached him personally. And he wouldn't listen to me and he killed his brother. Forget about him. No way. God came down and speak with Cain again. Do we have Cain here? No. God forbid, we don't have Cain here. I'm afraid many of us like Cain. God talked to you personally many times. And you go back and do it. Why God? Proverbs 8:31. Because this is an amazing verse. When God created the creation, he rejoiced. He rejoiced in his inhabited world. It was the world was was damaged, destroyed, nothing there, and the Holy Spirit was hovering there on the water, and then God began to create, and it looks beautiful, and he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. But then he created man, and he looked, and he said, it was very good. What is the story? Because my delight was with the sons of men. This is our God. His delight is with you. If you are a sinner, his delight is with you. If you are a church who abandons the way of the Lord, his delight is with you. If you are listening and going away and don't apply what you listen to, he is still searching for you. His delight is for you. It's fascinating. Our God is love, real love. This is the story of Jesus. Jesus is saying here, back to the first in its context, behold, behold, I stand today. Behold, God is standing today and saying to Capital Baptist Church, Capital Baptist Church, my intention is a church. Primary intention for God in the New Testament is to work through his church. We cannot change America except through the church. There is no hope to America or to Iraq or to Syria or to Turkey or to Egypt except through the church. And here we go. At that time, the church in Turkey, in the Asia Minor, Jesus was outside the church. And the church vanished, destroyed, it disappeared. Because he allowed Jesus. I believe that we here in USA, we here in this nation, in America, still we have a chance. Do you know why? Because we have a church. But please allow God to lead this church. Allow God to come in and dine with, not with me and you, dine with us. Here I cannot believe myself. I said to the Lord, Lord, why you are choosing individuals? Why you are saying if anyone will listen and open, I will dine with him and he is with me. Because his delight is with you. But in reality, he was knocking the door of the church. Because he's outside. But if he is inside here, if he is in the middle of our worship, if he is the subject of our worship, I tell you, the world will know who is Jesus is. It's not by explanation only, which is important. It's not by convincing the people. Do you know by what? By proclamation from the body of Christ, from the church. Who is Jesus? Jesus in his church is the glorious image of the invisible God, but in a church. I like to bring the verse. Not how would you pray? I like you, when you are praying now, will have 1 minute of prayers. Please, I like all of us first to pray for the persecuted church. People who are suffering because of their faith in Jesus all over the globe today. They are not in hundreds. They are not in thousands. They are in millions. But through that, their suffering, as some other millions are coming to know the Lord. But I like you to pray another prayer. Who is Jesus for you? If you are in fellowship with him or not, does he dine with you and you with him or not? This is a big question. You need to have a fellowship with him. The third prayer I like every one of us to pray is our church. Lord, would you move us to intercede like Abraham? Would you move us as a church to have a fellowship with you like the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 24? Would we come all together today to the Lord and said, we will dine with you and you with us, Lord God, please use us as a church to reach out to our nation. Could we stand for 1 minute to pray? Please close your eyes and pray. If you are opening your heart to Jesus first time, if this verse touched you and you like to dine with him and he is with you, please pray this prayer and ask him to come to your heart. Tell him, Jesus,
I like to welcome you into my heart. But we need all of us, His people in this room, to come together, humble ourselves, humble ourselves and repent and say, Lord, the church of Christ in this room, in this city, is coming to you to intercede. Would you unite us, Lord, in one heart to intercede in behalf of the persecuted church today? Could you open our mind and our hearts so we can intercede in behalf of thousands over thousands of souls in our city who don't know you, Lord? Would you move us to proclaim your name? Would you use us, Lord, to bring others in to the kingdom of God? Heavenly Father, we thank you because as we pray these prayers, we know that you are answering our cry in Jesus' name. Amen.